We come in the Lord's house on this day, and we come with very, very clear awareness that God's word speaks to where we live in life. And today we look at a very, very significant passage of scripture that speaks clearly to how life unfolds for each one of us if we're not careful. The title of the message is Being Stuck Between a Rock and a Hard Place. And as you think about that for a second, it's easy for us to find ourselves in moments like that. If you have your Bible, open if you would to Deuteronomy chapter 2. And as you open there, you come to a passage of scripture where the Lord says a particular thing. He makes a particular statement that is the summation of a journey, watch this, where people have been stuck for 40 years. They have found themselves wandering because of choices they have made. And because they were stuck, the Lord says something in Deuteronomy chapter 2 that has such significance. In fact, the only way you can really get the power of this is to understand what transpired that opened the door for the Lord to say this. Look, if you would, Deuteronomy 2, verse 2. And the Lord spoke to me, saying, "You have circled this mountain long enough. Now turn north." Now, I want you to imagine for a second, just think about for a minute as we look at this particular story. Here are people who have found themselves in a place stuck because of circumstances, situation, choices, dynamics they've encountered. And as a result, all of a sudden, they hear the Lord say, "It is time for you to move on. It's time for you to move through this. It's time for you to let go and let God be in charge." And it's amazing when you read this passage that all of a sudden they are put on course to be freed. If they choose to obey, they are put on course to be freed from all of the things that they have lived through. Wouldn't you love to be able to let go of some pain you've been through? Wouldn't you love to let go of some rejection you've had? Wouldn't you love to be able to say, "I no longer am going in a circle around this mountain. I am going north. I am moving towards God. I want God to help me and to bless me and to watch over me." You see, on this particular day, if you are stuck between a rock and a hard place, then this life skill is absolutely essential for you. Because this life skill helps you grab hold of some concepts that are so rooted in the scripture that it is the story that unfolds. Because if you'll notice in the title of this message, you'll notice that it's really stuck between the rock, Jesus, and a hard place, our choices. Because what you discover is the Lord is there for every one of us if we're willing to entrust ourselves to Him. Last Sunday, we dived into a subject that is the defining aspect of all life skills that we will look at throughout this series. We dived into this whole concept of trusting beyond our understanding, because all of us live through things we don't understand, chapters in life that we can't define, experiences that we try to figure out which way to go. And with that, we have to be willing to look inside of our hearts and ask ourselves, how do we move through this? How do we find victory in this? So I want to ask you a question today as we get ready to dig into this particular aspect of life. Have you ever found yourself stuck? You ever found yourself in a place where you just couldn't get past it? Either the pain was too great, or the emotion was too powerful, or the conflict was too overwhelming. And as a result of that, you willfully chose to allow that particular situation to define who you are. And what did it do? It stole your joy. It misdirected your path. It caused you to miss the best of life because that particular situation, that particular circumstance, you were circling that mountain. So today, here it is my prayer for you, that if you have found yourself circling a mountain and you have been there so long that it is so familiar to you, that you believe that's the way life is supposed to be, that you're just supposed to keep on going around in a circle, may you realize today that that is not God's best for your life. In fact, if you'll think about it for a second, we can all trace our steps back to the place where we get stuck. In fact, let me ask you, can you trace your steps back? Do you remember when it was? Maybe for some of you, it was early in life. Somebody said something that caused you to start circling a mountain. Somebody said maybe you were not going to be intelligent enough to do a certain thing, or maybe someone said you would not be able, qualified to do another task, and someone said something to you that it shaped the way you thought and it shaped the way you responded. And as a result, going around that circle, you found yourself at times lost in your journey, And so today we look at what it means to bring ourselves out of that circle and to turn north. And by the way, it may very well be that you have people in your life who are circling a mountain. They're continually going around. They're going around and around and around. And their choices, listen carefully, their choices will decimate their future. But because it's the only way they have known life, it's the only choice they seem to be making. And so if you're here today and you've been making some of those choices, today is such a profound day for you, because today we will look at a place where Paul says something of such dramatic significance that we cannot miss it. He says something that sets in motion our entire thought process. Before we do that, though, to be stuck between a rock and a hard place is to anchor ourselves in Him. And in Psalm 27 is a place where David makes this powerful, powerful statement. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will never slumber. When you read that, here's what you discover. That the Lord is your rock. He is your anchor. He will not allow your foot to slip. He never slumbers. You see, the Lord is always watching after us, always watching over us, always guiding us to where He wants us to go. But the psalmist also said something else very profound. In Psalm 27:5 said, "In the secret place of His tent He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock." Don't you love that? In the secret place. Watch this. Here's what He said. At the most intimate, critical moment of your life, He will lift you up into a secret place. And then one other verse before we dig into Romans is a verse that really is powerful, because it shows you what happened in summation in Deuteronomy 32, verse 18. Listen to what it says. You neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth. Now, I want you to think about that verse in light of what we read a moment ago in Deuteronomy 2. Here is what you read. They had the moment to turn north, but they still had something in them that said, no, this is me and this is my way. And listen carefully. If you have somebody who is circling a mountain, until they completely surrender and say, Lord, only through You, they will keep circling over and over again. What did he say in chapter 32? You have neglected. You have missed. You have missed the opportunity of a lifetime. And so on this day, as we come together in the Lord's house, may we find ourselves in a very, very clear place of understanding that we want this life skill. We want to be anchored to a rock. We want to be moving forward. So if you have your Bible, continue to open, if you would, to Romans chapter 11. And as you turn there, let's get an idea of all that Paul has conveyed in this letter. This letter gives us the privilege to recognize that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This letter helps us understand that we are justified by faith. This letter equips us to know that all things work together for good. In fact, in the days to come, I'll show you something out of Romans 8:28 perhaps you've never thought about before. That's a life skill that equips you to be able to move forward. But by the time we arrive at Romans chapter 11, it's here that we find the difference between those who are anchored in a rock and those who are stuck in a hard place. We begin reading in Romans 11, verse 33. Notice what the text says. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has became His counselor? Or who became His counselor? Or who has first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him again? Notice this verse. For from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. For from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. And then we get to Romans chapter 12. And what does he say? Therefore, which means he is anchoring everything he's saying in what he's just alluded to in verses 33 through 36. Therefore, watch what he said. I urge you, my brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. When you realize, in this particular passage, what Paul is saying, Paul is saying that for us, in order to be unstuck, to move beyond where we are, to get past that particular moment, the only way we can transition through that, the only way we can find victory through it, is to make sure that we understand how his word speaks to our life and how he anchors us not in conformity, but in transformation. And I'll show you today as we look at this how important it is that we do not conform to the world, but that we are transformed by God. And what we discover, first of all, is the basis by which we move forward and out of our stuck spot is to be anchored to the rock. To be anchored to the rock. Look, if you would, at verses 33 through 36, because it's here that we grasp this idea of anchoring to something. Because he says that you are everything. He is all in all, everything to us. And I love in verse 33 how he says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, unfathomable his ways." Watch this. Here's what he says. When we are anchored to the rock, it is deep enough for us to discover the wisdom and knowledge of God. Here's what Paul was saying. You can find God in the midst of all that you're encountering. You just have to be careful not to allow conformity to steal away the basis by which you're supposed to live. It's interesting because in this particular verse, verse 33, he uses two words, unimaginable and unfathomable. He uses these words that capture our attention because here's what he's saying. There is a wonder to God that exceeds our capacity to grasp all the things that we're going to go through in life, but it is through him that we live through them. It's him at work in us. And what he's trying to say is there's something that anchors deep inside of us, deep inside of us. Yesterday, I was at a hospital room for one of our ladies who attends our church. Their daughter has been faithful in our student ministry, and on Friday night, I learned that her mother was soon to be going home to heaven. And I went to the hospital room at 10:30 yesterday morning and had a chance to gather around with that family and pray. Little did I know that within an hour and a half, she would be in the presence of the Lord. But as I talked to that mom on the phone this morning before the service, you could sense that inside of her was the affirmation that her mother was finally home. Her journey began many years before with a great battle. 2003. In 2011, on this Memorial Day weekend, angels came and picked her up, took her home. For this mom, her faith has to be deep enough to understand and grasp the knowledge that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You see, all of us anchor to something. If we anchor to our situations, what happened? Our anchor moves every time a wave hits us. But we anchor to the Lord, it moves us all the way to a solid place where we can trust and believe and never allow anything to get in the way of our absolute confidence that he who began this good work in us will complete it. So my question to you as you think about your anchor, are you deep enough to be able to move forward no matter what it is you're facing? You see also, though, when you look at this passage, that there's something else that comes out of it, because as you look at it, it's here in verse 36 that he said, "For from him and through him and to him are all things." You see, here's what happens to each one of us. Someone, the Lord Jesus, invests in us, makes an investment. And here's what you grasp. Here's what Paul said. He acknowledged the investment made by God in his life. He acknowledged that investment. He acknowledged that all of a sudden something had happened that was powerful that caused him to move forward. I want to ask you, when's the last time you just acknowledged his investment in you? When's the last time you just said, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for my healthy children. Thank you for my faithful husband, my faithful wife. Thank you for the investment of people in my life. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my job." You see, what happens is what we acknowledge becomes a way of life to us. If we acknowledge what it is that God is doing, then he becomes our way of life. And listen, far be it from any of us to be different on Monday than we are on Sunday. May it be the story of our lives that we are anchored to a rock, and that anchor is so powerful and so strong that it causes us to know that our investment, what God has invested in us, he is in and through and to all things. You ought to underline that verse because that summarizes all of God to every one of us, that he is in everything. He is with us. My question today is, are we anchored? But you'll notice that he goes on in chapter 12, and he begins by saying, "Therefore." And what he does is he makes sure we don't miss this. Because he balances, watch this, the hard place with the rock. And I want you to see this today as we look at it. In fact, what I want you to see today is that it's in verses 1 and 2 that he are the distinguishing differences. He distinguishes the differences between conformity and transformation. Moving beyond what the world throws at you and what Christ only can do in you. And so if you're here today and maybe the world has tried to get you to conform in a particular way, listen carefully, because it is here where he breaks down with great power the significance of how we live our lives. But you've got to be able to distinguish the difference. Look at it again and notice how he does it. He says so clearly, "I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice." Now, is that 100% commitment? It is, isn't it? In other words, here's a place where he says, you can't go at this half-hearted. And listen carefully. If Jesus isn't everything, you will find yourself slipping away from him. But if he's everything, if he is your anchor, then you'll find yourself in the storms of life having someone to turn to, someone to speak to. You will hear a still small voice speaking to your heart, helping you through the situations you face in life. But you've got to be careful that it's 100%. He says that you present yourself a living sacrifice. You know, all of us have people who sacrifice in our lives. They go the extra mile. They do the extra things. I'm married to a lady like that who always does the extra thing. Be it for me, be it for my children. Last night I watched it. She started showing me these outfits for a grandbaby that's not even born yet. And she picked the first one out, and she said, "Oh, look at this. Isn't this beautiful?" I'm thinking, that kid not even here yet. That kid may take after me and be a big old kid. The dress may not even fit once. You know, who knows? May be like Christian. It may end up being up in 6 months when you begin. The truth is, each one of those dresses, I was watching her be 100% sold out to what it is God has designed her to be. And listen carefully. When you start selling out completely, then you start distinguishing the difference. You start distinguishing the difference. Notice how he does it. It's amazing what he does, because he talks about this rock and the hard place. Notice, first of all, he says that you present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. What does he talk about here? He talks, first of all, about the sacrifice we are to make. And it has to do with complete devotion. It has to do with us saying, "Lord, I want you to be everything in me, not just a part of me." And listen, if you get this, this is so essential for your life. If you come to the place where your complete reliance is on the one who knows your name and has ordered your steps and destined your day, all of a sudden you become completely reliant. You completely devote yourself. It's the same passionate energy that you see Jesus going to the cross. And he completely sacrifices everything so that we can have life. And what he says to you and me is, we got to make sure that we, in a complete way, devote ourselves to what it is God has. You see, all it takes is a whim or a moment to move us off center if we're not anchored in Christ. But look on, though. Notice what else he said. He talks very carefully in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Let's talk about the hard place. Let's talk about the hard place, because here's where this life skill comes into play. This hard place is conformity. And let me tell you, when you look at conformity and you look back at the original language, it has to do with the idea of a pattern or a scheme that will lead us to a place that we do not want to be. We have these patterns that come at it. In other words, it's a step, then another step, then another step, and all of a sudden, we're in a pattern. It's conformity. And what does conformity do? Conformity says that I have to measure up to a criteria that I will never measure up to completely, but I'm going to keep striving towards the thinking that if I do this, I'll fit in. It's amazing. I was reading this week that we live in a day where we've come to the place where teenagers and others are facing depression because of Facebook. And as I was reading that, I was thinking, how do you get depressed just with an electronic social media? How does that work? Well, listen carefully. If your cup is only filled up by how many responses or how many friends you have, listen, I get requests for friends that I've never heard of in my life. And, you know, I always want to say how many friends they got, because they're just trying to add me to their list. They go through, and, who wants to be a friend and you don't know? Can't be a friend that way, can you? But as I read it, I thought, how could it be that we have allowed a mechanism, an outlet, to be a source that causes us to emotionally disconnect from the world that we're in? Listen, that is conformity. That is conformity. You see, if it's misconstrued, the technique and what that's all about, to all of a sudden become something that affects us emotionally and mentally, then we have to ask ourselves, am I tying into the world? And the world will get you wherever it can get you at. The world will grab hold of you in whatever spot that you will conform to, because the scheme that comes at you is there to destroy you. So be wise. Be wise as you process life. Because here's what conformity says. Conformity says, I fit in with everybody but Jesus. Transformation, watch this. Transformation says, I fit in with Jesus and with anybody else who's in with him. You see the difference? And that's why, for example, by the way, you know which camp religion falls in? Conformity. Because here's what religion says. Religion says, if you do this, this, and this, and if you look this way, and you say these things, then you are going to be okay. That's why if you go to New Orleans in February or March and they have Mardi Gras, you know what they're doing? They're doing everything they can before they come to the place where they got to give up something. What are they really saying? We are conveying conformity. I want to ask you a question. Have you allowed conformity to slip into your life? Have you allowed, for example, your tongue to say the wrong thing, your mind to think the wrong thoughts? Have you allowed some action to guide you the wrong way? If that's the case, then on this day, you are stuck between a rock and a hard place. So let's look at what he says here, because then he goes on to say something very powerful, very positive. Notice what he said. Verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's what he said. How do we get transformed? We come to the rock, and the rock is Jesus, and he transforms who we are. It's metamorphosis. It's transformation. It's changing us into something. We can never be ourselves. And listen, it starts with a simple desire to obey. Oftentimes, I'll interact with people who what they do is they confuse with complexity the simplicity of what Christ can do. And what you and I need to see today as we think about this on our own spiritual journey, we've got to think about how important it is that we maintain a simplicity when it comes to transformation, that we realize that Christ in us can change everything. Aren't you glad? See, he can take your broken dreams and cast a new dream inside of you. He can take your rejection and move you to an absolute point of affirmation in him. He can take your pain and even show you purpose. He can take the complexities of your personality and simplify them down to where you simply trust him in the midst of your journey. He's the rock. He's the answer to life. And listen, if this life still gets through to each one of us, what do we see? We see ourselves anchored in a rock, but being able to distinguish the difference between conformity and transformation. And listen, if you've got to ask yourself every time you do something, what would Jesus do? Then what does it really say? It says that you are dabbling in a world of conformity. And what you've got to realize is that you want to be transformed by anchoring yourself in the rock. And watch what happens when you make that choice. But you'll notice he goes on to say that we discover his will. And I love how Paul says it, that we come to a place that we may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Watch this. You cannot miss this. The renewed mind is the key to discovering his will. Here's what he's saying. You've got to cleanse your mind. You've got to cleanse your mind. Have you ever seen something at a movie or something and you went, oh, I don't like that? And what did you have to do? You had to cleanse your mind. And listen carefully. If it takes vulgarity and all the other things to entertain, then you don't want to be entertained. Because what you've got to do is you've got to come back and renew your mind. Because he says here, then you can prove what the will of God is. If your mind is renewed, you're hearing God speak to you if you renew your mind. But if you allow your thoughts to hang on there and all of a sudden get control, what happened? All of a sudden, you can be convinced you can get away with this or get away with that, do this or do that. And what happens is we lose that element of transformation and we instead lean back towards conforming. Because, see, the world we live in, it's interesting. I was reading this weekend. It's amazing what we do in our world. We elevate people who are debased to speak to the issues most critical in life, and we wonder why the world is so messed up. I mean, we let someone, I mean, I was reading, and they had these different interviews with all these, and it was like five or six different actors, and they were all saying, well, marriage is obsolete. Commitment is optional. We ought to have the freedom to do what we need. It's a failed institution. And I was reading that, I was thinking, you're debased in your thought because you don't understand God's design. God has a perfect design. And my challenge for you is to realize something. In this corrupt, debased, confusing world, you better listen to the one who knows your heart. You better listen to Jesus. You better let him speak to where you are. Because, listen, as we see the day dawning, no, the rapture didn't occur on May 21. But I'm going to tell you something. The day will come when a trumpet will blow. A day will come when the Lord will call us all home. And let me tell you something. I'd rather have a renewed mind every day than to be confused by a world that is absolutely anchoring itself in prosperity, anchoring itself in its own situational ethics, is anchoring itself in a valueless culture. Listen, if we give away our values, if we give away what we truly believe, if we listen to the pundits who say it's okay for this and okay for that, listen carefully. If it doesn't line up with God's word, it will never be okay. It doesn't matter what nation we are, what place we're in, it will never be okay. And here's what Paul said. You want to live in the will of God, that which is perfect, that absolutely gets you somewhere, then you keep renewing your mind. But let's look on, though, because if we're to have this life skill, we anchor, watch this, we anchor in the rock. We discover the differences. We discern those things. But in verse 3, it's a verse that oftentimes people overlook because here's what they say. I like how that 1 and 2 work, but I'm not sure about verse 3. Look at it. Notice what it said. Notice as you think about it. There, verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. You know, when you realize this, it's amazing what Paul says. It's all by grace. I mean, in fact, when you read it, he uses that, for through the grace given me. Here's what he said. In order to get out of our stuck spot, in order to get past it, we have to start experiencing his amazing grace. We've got to let his grace work in our life. Listen, if you never let Jesus into you, then you want to let him in because it's what grace does. I mean, listen, his unmerited favor all of a sudden rests on you, for by grace we are saved. It's a powerful, powerful thought. And here he says, so important to each one of us not to miss, is that this amazing grace is what equips us to be able to get past our stuck spots. You see, if we're not living in grace, here's what happened. We are living in judgment. And listen carefully. You may have someone who caused you pain, but there is a God who heals your pain if you live in his grace. There's a place for him to come. It's a sweet place of his abiding grace that works inside of all of our lives if we're just willing to surrender ourselves to him. What do we see here? It's interesting. He said, don't think more highly of himself than he ought to think. What is he saying here? Watch this. Make sure you assess based in humility. Because when you see somebody who thinks of themselves more highly than they are, what are they getting ready to do? They're getting ready to fall, aren't they? They get in their mind, hey, that I'm more powerful. I have more connection point. And listen carefully. Here's what he said. Somebody thinks that way. Be careful not to be standing by them because they're going to fall right on you. They're going to tumble right on top of you. And what he says here is be careful how you assess yourself. Make sure that you look at yourself as a person of humility, humbling yourself. And watch this. You've seen this throughout all this series. Humility guides you to a place of great, great victory. I read a book just recently called Derailed. It's a story of 5 CEOs of major corporations in America, all of which failed miserably. The CEOs did. And you realize that for all 5 of them, they had a common thread. They had a common thread that pride was the basis by which they made their decisions instead of humility. If I had to call their names, you would know each one of them because they went back and studied how they processed decisions, how they acted on things. But as I read that book, I realized something, that if we are not humble, we cannot distinguish the difference between conformity and transformation. If we're not humble, here's what we say, well, I'm going to do it my way. It's always worked before. I'm going to do it my way. Listen, when you start doing it your way instead of God's way, what are you saying? You're saying that you're thinking more highly of yourself than God intended. A very sad way to live life. And yet, what we discover here, he says, you got to make sure you base everything in humility. But then you also notice another thing he says very powerfully. He says, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. What does he say here? He says, live based in sound judgment. In other words, if you know the right thing to do, then make that choice. But have sound judgment. In other words, learn how to hear what it is God has for you. Because that sound judgment will guide you to a place where all of a sudden you start experiencing His grace. You ever made a decision that you go, not sure there's the right one? You look back and say, oh, I can't believe I went that way. Or have you ever made a decision where you knew it was the right one? Happened to me last night. Had a very exhausting, tiring week with a lot of different things going on. But I told Cindy at 6:30, I said, you know, I think I need to go. I need to go see my friend. And I'm so glad that I did. That sound judgment that God gave me the wisdom to be able to know when I was supposed to go, the step I was supposed to take, the way that He would have me go. So when you look at this, you realize that here's a place where really what Paul said, he said three very simple things. We have to have right understanding, which will lead to right living. And as we start living right, we'll start thinking right. We'll start thinking right. I want to ask you a simple question when it comes to where you are. Maybe you've been stuck in a spot. Maybe you found yourself in a place where you didn't know which way to go. And all of a sudden you realize, you know what? I can turn in a direction that leads me all the way home. I want to challenge you to think about your life today and ask yourself, are you willing to move forward, or are you going to circle this mountain the rest of your life? Because here's what we learned today. We can circle around a mountain, around and around and around, and never be transformed. Or we can turn north, and when we turn north, something begins to happen inside of us because we experience the transforming power of the grace of God. Don't we all want to go north? Don't we all want to get off any mountain we circled and turn towards the one who calls our name? When we turn that way, something powerful begins to happen. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the power of Your word. Thank You for the way that it speaks to who we are. It grabs us. It grabs hold of our hearts and guides us to a place of great understanding. And Lord, in this day, we anchor ourselves in You. We surrender ourselves to You. We acknowledge You as the one who guides every step of our journey. You are the faithful one. You're the one who very carefully causes us to humble ourselves before You, because You have amazing things You want to do inside of us. But we ask in a special way. We ask in a special way to bless these moments in which we respond to You, that we would experience transformation as we wipe away all conformity and we surrender our desire, our stuck spots. We surrender them to You. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.